Thank you for joining me on the Manifest Telecast. I want to say this up front. This is a very interesting teaching. Years ago, when I saw this in Scripture and I began to share it with some Bible scholars, they said, "We've never heard that taught, but Perry, you are on to something." They didn't say I was on something. They said, "You are on to something." And they said, "You need to teach this because we believe you've come across something that is very, very interesting, and it is there in Scripture." So I'm going to share that with you, the mysterious angel of prophecy. Now, I've always loved the subject of angels. In fact, I have written about 3 different books on angels that are available through our ministry. But angels are mentioned about 270 to 300 times in the Bible in different variations. In the early church history, the early church fathers identified what they believed were 7 angels that were connected to God's kingdom. Raphael was a healing angel, and that's one that you don't actually hear or see listed anywhere in the Scripture. But we won't give you that list of 7 that were in church history. But what we're going to deal with is the 3 that are mentioned in the Bible. The 3 mentioned in the Bible are Michael, the archangel, Gabriel, and then also one called Lucifer, who is called the anointed cherub. Now, that's why we mention him as an angel, because in Scripture, he is called in Ezekiel the anointed cherub that covereth. So Michael, and we're going to give you just a little breakdown here. Michael is the angel who is called the Prince for Israel. So he is Israel's guardian angel. And anything dealing with Israel, Jerusalem, or the Jewish people, Michael is involved with that. Then you have Gabriel, or Gabriel, and he is the angel of God that is connected very heavy with Gentile nations and Gentile empires. He is alluded to in the book of Daniel, bringing Daniel revelations about the empires of Bible prophecy that would impact Israel, the Jewish people, and the city of Jerusalem. So he is the revelator. He comes from the presence of God. And then we also have to mention this. Lucifer, whose name means a bright star or morning star, is the 3rd angel alluded to, who later, after the fall, took on the name of Satan or the devil. So there are some, my point is this, there are several mysterious verses that we're going to go to in the book of Revelation that I want to share with you that are very, very, very interesting. All right, because in the book of Revelation, the Bible says this is the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he's mentioned and alluded to in chapter 1, chapter 2 as the head of the churches, and you see him appear throughout the book. But there are angels. There's angel over fire, angel an angel over the golden altar, the angel over the sun, an angel over water, Revelation 16 and verse 5. But there is an angel which is mentioned specifically as the 7th angel. The 7th angel is alluded to, for example, in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7, Revelation chapter 11 verse 15, Revelation 16 and verse 17. Now, when you see the 7th angel, he is making these statements. He is making the statement, for example, "The mystery of God is finished or complete." He is making the indication that the kingdoms of the world have now become the kingdoms of our God. The 7th angel also makes this announcement in Revelation, "It is done." Now, if you really thoroughly examine the apocalypse, which again is the Greek word name for Revelation, the book of Revelation recorded by John, his vision on the Isle of Patmos, you will find out that the 7th angel is the angel that is personally assigned to John, who begins to show him many of the details, such as the destruction of Mystery Babylon and things of this nature. Here's what is interesting, and I was studying the book when I did my series. I hope you have my series on the entire book of Revelation that we did on DVD, because if you don't have it, you need to get that. But in Revelation 19, 9 through 10, John goes to worship the angel who has showed him these things. Now, this is the 7th angel in Revelation. And here's what the Scripture says. It's going to come up on the screen. "And he said to me, 'Write, Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that you do it not. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, what fascinated me about that verse of scripture where he said, I am a fellow servant, but this fellow servant, whoever it was also familiar with Jesus Christ personally and was a part of the revelation of Jesus Christ that is being revealed to John. Now, another verse that ties into this is Revelation. Sometimes people will say Revelation. It's Revelation singular. Chapter 22, verses 8 through 10. This is going to come up on the screen. Now, watch this. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Now, this is a separate verse from the one I just read. He said unto me, see that you do it not. Now here we go. For I am thy fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets. Whoa. So the seventh angel is actually a prophet who is a fellow servant working in cooperation with John to see these things. And of them that keep the sayings of the book, worship God. Now here is the key that I jumped on. I jumped on this heavy. Here's the key. He said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Whoa. Seal not. Where do we find that? Where do we find this idea about either sealing a prophecy or unsealing a prophecy? All right. Now, before I tell you, let me say this. When you read in the book of Revelation, for example, the word angel, there is a common Greek word for the word angel. However, the definition of what an angel is basically in Greek a messenger sent from God. Now, what is interesting is this, and a lot of people don't realize this if they're young in the Bible, as far as young in studying the Word, that when you take the word angel in the New Testament, it can refer to a human being, such as a pastor, that is presenting a message from God's Word or from God. And I can tell you that's true because in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, when the Lord Jesus Christ is addressing the seven churches that are located in Asia Minor in Turkey, he says to the angel of the church of Laodicea, to the angel of the church at Sardis, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, and the angel there is not a supernatural angel. We think of them as having wings. It is the pastor of the church. So when you begin to look at Scripture and you see angel, it is a messenger. The context of what you're reading has to determine if the messenger here is a human messenger, such as the pastor of a church, or is it an angelic messenger, a spirit being which is called an angel. Now, in the book of Revelation, most of the time when it talks about angels, it's talking about the divine angels of God, the supernatural angels, the spirit beings in heaven that are messengers of God. However, when you put these two verses together that we just read to you, it gets very interesting. Because this angel, who is a prophet, who is John's fellow servant, has given him an instruction found in one place in the Bible, the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelation are parallel to one another. For example, the book of Daniel describes a beast like a leopard, a lion, and a bear. He has revealed that in a vision. In Revelation chapter 13, the last kingdom that comes on earth of the Antichrist is a bear and a leopard and a lion. John didn't make that up. That is found in the book of Daniel. Secondly, in the book of Daniel, it's important to understand this, that Daniel also saw the last kingdom, which is the kingdom of the Antichrist. He identifies the Antichrist as a little horn with a big mouth. A little horn with a mouth speaking great things. That fourth empire is not described in Daniel. But Daniel it tells you, I'm sorry, but John tells you in Revelation chapter 13 that the beast kingdom is the same three beasts combined as one empire that Daniel saw in the book of Daniel. And it is, the lion is Babylon, the bear is Media Persia, and the goat is the Grecian Empire. So if you take all the territory that those three empires ruled, that's the territory the Antichrist rules from. Now, let me go back to the last words in Daniel 12 and 13. Well, no, let me stop for a minute. I got to add this. Daniel is told in the book of Daniel to seal up the book till the time of the end. Seal your book. So he has this whole vision, and God tells him to seal up the book. All right? Very important to seal up the book. So as God tells him to seal the book of prophecy, we go to Revelation and we see that God is saying to John, don't seal the book. Don't seal this book of prophecy. Now, why is that important? Because John in the book of Revelation is told to eat a book and continue to prophesy. And that's when he gets the revelation of the beast empire, the Antichrist empire, and how it compares to Daniel. Daniel told you about the beast, but he never tells you. It's called the nondescriptive beast, the fourth beast. He just says, this is what it's going to do. John tells you about the fourth beast, the Antichrist kingdom, the kingdom of the Antichrist with his 10 kings. So Daniel is an apocalyptic book with symbolism, and John is an apocalyptic, I'll get it out in a minute, book with symbolism. So listen to the last thing in the book of Daniel. We're going to tie this together here. But you, Daniel, who was over 90 years of age, go your way until the end, for you shall rest and stand, and shall stand fast in your allotted place at the end of days. What does that mean, to stand fast in your allotted place at the end of days? Okay? Well, let's start getting into this, because this gets extremely interesting. All right? First of all, in the book of Revelation, there is a temple of God in heaven. In that same entire 22 chapters, there are seven angels. Those seven angels are involved coming out of that temple with trumpets on one occasion and with vials or bowls on a second occasion. And what they are doing is they are releasing different types of judgments on earth, and they are releasing them through the blasting of trumpets. A first angel blast, this happened. Second angel blast, this happened. Or a vial, a bowl, is poured out, and this happens. And the second angel comes, pours out a bowl, and this happens. Now, again, listen to me carefully. We think of these angels as being heavenly angels with wings, or supernatural beings that are found all through Scripture. However, as I said earlier, men can be called angels. Now, what if I were to say this to you? The seventh angel, and this is one of the seven that's coming in and out of the temple of God, seventh angel. What if I were to say this to you? I want you to think about this. Because that seventh angel is a fellow servant, a follower who knows about Jesus, and a prophet, it has to be a prophet who once lived on earth, who died and is in heaven in paradise, that is showing John the revelation. Now, what if I said this to you? Is it possible that all of these seven angels could be seven prophets? This is heavy. That in the Old Testament predicted events that would happen in the tribulation. And God allows these seven prophets to oversee the event that they predicted in their book. Whew. Deep, ain't it? Ain't it? That's the West Virginia coming out in me. Deep, isn't it? Now think about this. The primary prophet would be Daniel. He saw the beast, and then John is revealed the beast from the book of Daniel. So Daniel saw the Antichrist kingdom and the empire's prophecy. Isaiah chapters 13, 24, and 26 talks about God punishing the earth. It talks about the sun, it talks about the darkness, it talks about the earth shaking, all right? Those are part of the judgments that come in the book of Revelation. Joel talks about the sun, moon, and stars, sun to be darkened, the moon to turn to blood. He talks about the armies that are going to march. He talks about the great day of the Lord. That is alluded to in the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Ezekiel is another great prophet. He talked in chapter 37 about the dry bones, chapter 38 and 39, the war of Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog is mentioned again in the book of Revelation. He talked about a millennial temple that would be built. He talked about David resurrecting. So he would be one of those prophets, or let me say, could be one of those seven angels or seven prophets. Jeremiah talked about Jacob's trouble, which is the tribulation in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 7, and so many other prophecies. Jeremiah was a major prophet. He could be one of those seven angels. What about Zechariah? He talked about Jerusalem being a cup of trembling in chapter 12. He talked about the Messiah returning in chapter 14. John talked about the Messiah returning in Revelation 19. What if Zechariah is one of those seven prophets? What about Malachi? He said, I will send to you Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. So what does that mean? That means look at chapter 11 in Revelation. Elijah is one of the two witnesses. Now here's what's interesting. If we look at the fact that the seventh angel is a prophet, and we look at the fact that you can find seven prophets in their books that predicted events that are also recorded in the book of Revelation, it would mean, now this is wild, that the seven prophets who gave the prophecies are the ones that get to pour out, either blast a trumpet or pour out a trumpet, a vile judgment on the earth, because God said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So he takes the man that saw the prophecy as the witness of what is happening to confirm what he wrote is true. This is my opinion. It's only my opinion. I think that the seventh angel that was a prophet was Daniel himself. And again, I've ran this by scholars, and they said, Perry, sometimes scripture has to be, in fact, all scripture has to be put together the way Isaiah said, line upon line, precept upon precept. So what you've done is you've taken the evidence from Daniel, the evidence from the book of Revelation, you've compiled it together like a lawyer would a case, if I can say it that way. And you've come to a conclusion here that is not only very possible, but very probable. So Daniel, I believe, is the seventh angel who was showing John those things, and God somehow concealed whom he was to the apostle John. And that's why the angel had to tell John, the messenger had to tell John who it was. So that makes him the angel of prophecy. Now, did you hear what I said? That makes him the angel of prophecy. Now, a couple of things I want to share with you that's very important in kind of wrapping up this subject while I have the time here. The reason that God protects prophecy, and I'm going to tell you something. If you're a man who preaches the prophetic word, or there are women that teach it, but if you're a man that preaches it, you are a target by the enemy because he hates prophecy. Just get used to being ridiculed, slandered, mocked, lied on. Get used to it, because it happened in the Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament. Satan hates prophecy. Let me tell you why. First of all, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Prophecy, when it's fulfilled, proves that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Number two, because the Bible said this, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will not pass away. God's word, Matthew 24, 35, cannot pass away. It can only be fulfilled. And prophecy is what fulfills it to prove it. The third thing I want to tell you is the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19, 10. So if you want the proof that Jesus is the Messiah, you go to the Old Testament prophecies and you show where he revealed them or made them come to pass in the New Testament when he lived on earth. And if he fulfilled those Old Testament prophecies while he was alive on earth, what does that mean? He will fulfill the prophecies concerning his second coming. Now, in the church, the ministers are the messengers of Christ, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7. At the rapture, okay, so in other words, what I'm saying is the church is the voice of the Lord on the earth now through ministers. At the rapture, after the church is removed, two witnesses become the voice of the Lord and the messengers of God on earth the first 42 months of the tribulation, Revelation 11, and also the early fathers who mentioned that they were Enoch and Elijah. Three of them mentioned they were Enoch and Elijah, said that they would minister the first 42 months of the tribulation. Now, when you come to the end of the tribulation, because you have the two witnesses that die at the end of 3.5 years and they're caught up to God. So at the end of the tribulation, you have no church on earth. You have a fake church called Mystery Babylon, but that don't count. The rapture's taking place. The two witnesses have been caught up alive to heaven. So who's going to preach at the end of the tribulation? The answer is three angels that warn the earth, Revelation chapter 14, 6 through 11. So angels are going to be involved in the intense ministry that's going to be taking place at the end of time as we enter the seasons of the time of the end. Now, I was going to share with you a story about my dad, but we'll do that some other time. I may just make a YouTube video on my channel. I'm going to ask you to stay tuned for a special offer, but listen to me for just a moment. I need tens of thousands of you from every nation that watch me outside of the United States to subscribe to our YouTube channel so we can get over 1 million subscribers. It's free to do, by the way. No charge to that. And every time that we do a YouTube video, I'm going to ask every partner, make sure it's us, because there's a lot of fakers out there with false information, but make sure it's us. Be sure and give it a thumbs up, because that helps us to get it reach more people. So watch what's about to happen, and I'll be back in a moment, because I need to tell you where we're going to be and share some very important information with you after every program is over. So please watch this.
Perry Stone is now making available his new landmark book, Prophetic Alert. Stunning new insights reveal what is coming soon, which explores and explains numerous often unknown and untaught prophetic triggers that will lead to the rapture and the future Great Tribulation. Here are some of the 20 chapters. Ezekiel's War and the Rapture Link. The Confusion Over Who is Gog of Magog. God versus Gog. Big Hooks and Little Jaws. How can the Antichrist overpower a militarily armed Israel? Iran, Land of the Assassins and the Gate of the Gods. The Spirit of Cain in the Land of the East. Satan's main principality ruling in Middle East nations. The Coming Angelic Cosmic Wrestling Match. Why do many Muslims dislike the Jews and Israel? The Prophetic Vision of the Serpent in Gaza. When the Abyss releases the Destroying Angel. Kings of the East and 1.5 billion Hindus in prophecy. When a dead head rises again. God's four weapons of destruction that are coming. Does the Bible hint at a nuclear war? You will learn great prophetic insight from these chapters and more. When you order the Prophetic Alert book with your gift of $25 or more, Perry will also select and include in this offer a mystery CD, a surprise audio message on CD. To order, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or write to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. When writing, include your payment and offer number AB151. This is a very timely and important prophetic read for every Christian and all who love Bible prophecy. Your purchase is what helps keep Manifest on the air worldwide. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
All right, now listen, give me your attention for just a minute, because this is very important. Right over here, you see an enlarged copy of my brand new book, Prophetic Alert. But I want to tell you something about this. When I started writing this, this was my goal, to identify what I call the prophetic triggers that are leading up to the return of the Lord and leading up to the time that the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. There is no question about it. I think everybody who believed it was never going to happen are now believing that we're in what the Bible calls the end of the time of the end in the book of Daniel. When I wrote this, there were some questions I had, and I said, you know what, I'm going to find out the answer. And in this book, I'm going to tell you something here, that there's two things. Now, I've been to Israel, or let me say the Holy Land, because it's Egypt, Jordan, and Israel, all that's part of the Holy Land. I've been there over 40 times. And in going there, and seeing the strength of the Israeli military, I always had a question. And here's the question that I had. How can the Antichrist overtake a military armed Israel? Now, you have to understand the strength of the Israeli Air Force, ground forces, secret weapons they have they've never used. So the Antichrist is going to invade northern Africa. Then he's going to come into the Holy Land and he's going to set up his headquarters between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. That's in the book of Daniel. How does he do that when Israel could prevent him from doing it? And I have a whole chapter in the book. Now, here's another one that people have asked me for years. Why do so many Muslims dislike the Jews in Israel? Now, we think it's because they believe the Jews came in and took the land from the Palestinian people. That's the surface. That's kind of like the political reason. There is a reason that goes back to the time of Muhammad that nobody talks about. And I'm serious. In all my time of dealing with prophecy, and I know Muslims and I know Jews, but I started researching this, and it is the most intriguing, amazing thing, but it is not often discussed publicly, but there is a reason that goes back to that time frame. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. There are 20 chapters here, and this is going to cover things that I have never taught in 49 years in a conference, that I've never taught in book form, and I have never taught on CD. So order the book right now. It has the scan code in the back where you can see the 45 charts, maps, and pictures. Very unique. We've never done it before. This is the book. This is the book of the year, in my opinion. And it's one of the top three books that we put out in our ministry. All right. Just so you'll know, I'm coming to Elkins, West Virginia, November 15th. That's a Saturday night. Sunday morning the 16th at the Rivers of Living Water Ministry. Now, you folks that live up in Buchanan, West Virginia, Parsons, Elkins, Davis, please... And I know a lot of you have church, but you can be with us on Saturday night there. Please come and be a part. And so I'm going to also tell you that at the end of March, 27th, 28th, 29th, is Warrior Fest. You that have youth groups, get ready. There's no fee to attend. There's no entrance fees, but you'll have to register in January. April 22nd to the 26th is our International Prophetic Summit. Oh, my goodness. We've got Jonathan Kahn, Rick Renner, Jeremiah Johnson, Bill Cloud, myself. Oh my goodness, I'm leaving somebody out. So we just go to perrystone.org and get the information. Registration starts in January. God bless you.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries. You'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live-streamed prophetic updates, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.